Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on when you're going to watch it, Love Reaching Communities. It's my privilege again to share the Word of God with you guys. I'm very excited about this series that we're about to that we launched last week and what God is revealing to me in this. So I'm praying that today will be a significant time of you immersing yourself in His Word, immersing yourself in what He wants you to do and experience in Him, in what He wants you to learn about Him. And possibly about yourself. I don't think we should underestimate that God is a father to us, like so intimately that He wants us to learn about ourselves and how we process things so that we can improve and mature in that. I often take those teachable moments with my children. And I think God wants to do the same for us. So let's journey this thing together. Let's not forget that He is our intimate dad who loves us. So Father, I pray that today, as we sit and listen to Your Word, as we listen to possibly God, my ramblings, Father, I pray for Your anointing presence to make things come alive in the hearts and the minds of Your children, like only You can do. Holy Spirit, like only You can bring to remembrance, and You can cause us to make peace with things that possibly we remember all too well, but that we can move on to a point of maturing in You, that we can journey with You, that we can walk towards Your ultimate purpose and Your prophetic future, Your preferred future for our lives, Lord. I pray, God, that I ask You that You will be so present with Your children that we will feel the tangible weight of Your presence among us. Even now where we sit, we don't want to journey this thing alone. We don't want to go unless You go with us, Lord. Our hearts want to echo what Moses said. We want to be known and marked as Your people in Jesus' name. We thank You for Your presence, Lord. Right now, I just thank You that we can feel Your anointing on us, that we can experience Your presence around us. Amen. So, the journey of this new series is also the journey of this new season that Love Reaching Communities finds itself in. Us as a gathering of His living stones, pursuing His purpose for us as a church, a collective of believers. And last week I did my best to establish it, and I gave you five statements that underscore the season that we are going into, or that we are in already, but the series that we're going to journey and try and discover what God wants to say to us. But in summary, it's what happens when we are in a time of isolation, confinement, sheltering, discomfort, imprisonment. It's something that's just not comfortable. What happens if in a time like that, we decide to find ourselves continually in the presence of God? What could happen in that time? But also, what does that position us for as we come out of that time? What does it propel us into? What does it create momentum for? What does it refine us to achieve in Him? And how does it ultimately work towards His good for us and His glory being shown to the rest of the world? His kingdom come, His character displayed, His power at work. So this morning, this moment that I ended up the series and I says, but God. What is the but God moment this morning? The but God moment I found in Exodus 13, verse 18, where it says, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Yes, we are looking at the Israelites and their journey through the wilderness. Moses being the leader at the time, leading the people out of slavery into God's promised land. Now, what has already happened? We have seen the fulfillment of Genesis 12 verse 2, where God said to Abraham, I will make you into a powerful nation. Let's quickly turn there. Genesis 12 verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we see already a fulfillment of this. We see how God had taken a few people, 12 brothers, into Egypt. And now 300 to 400 years, depending on how your interpretation is and what commentaries you go and theologians you subscribe to. But we see a couple of 100 years later, the 12 brothers, they've been busy. And now we have a bit more on our hands. I spoke to Trevor earlier this week, and he says, yeah, if you just take the men and you multiply it by the factor that includes their wives and two children per family, you could end up with like 2.4 million. Now, I think that was possibly a little bit more than two children per family. But be that as it may, it is a large number of people, this nation of Israel, the children of Jacob who became Israel, the 12 brothers, they have become a nation. More than that, where there used to be a nomadic people that would go around and look after their sheep and follow as the pastures grew and where they had to go to get food for the sheep, a semi, you know, moving along and they have now been collected in one area, and they have come together as a people, establishing what makes them a people. How do people know that they are such a people? What do they celebrate together? And pretty much like us as Love Reaching Community, they have an established culture among them that marks them as Israelites, descendants of Israel, descendants of Jacob, and they are now called Hebrews, the nation of Israel. And what happens is, this Exodus 13, 18 is God sends Moses to go and take them out of slavery into a journey that will see them establish themselves as a nation of his purposes for the rest of the world, but in a promised land. I asked myself, what would have just preceded this would have been a time of the plagues. Can you remember the plagues? If I had to put you on the spot and say, quickly give me the 10 plagues, would you remember them? Yeah, hail, frogs, blood. I think the one we definitely all remember is the death of the firstborn. And that would have been the moment that eventually, let's say, broke the will of Pharaoh so that he would let go of his grip and let the people of God go. But now you can already take this time of discomfort and confinement, of slavery, and you can say, all right, So this is what God established, made them a nation. And then what went after that? They went into their inheritance, their promised land. And that in itself is a magnificent message, a preach in itself, where you can establish God's provision and His hand of protection despite so much trial and tribulation of taking them into it, if you just look in broad strokes. But what I want to focus on today is the 40 years of wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness, specifically that word wilderness. So if I had to say, what point does this lean into? I think I could probably cover all of the five statements that I did, but predominantly it goes into this journey that we do. Life is a journey in God, journey with Him. I'm going to look at a couple of things that we can see what God worked in them in the wilderness journey, but also what possibly they were able to go into because of the journey, as they found themselves in the very manifest presence of God. Imagine just the column of fire and the column of cloud, the cloud. How amazing being so close to the manifest presence of God. I don't even know how I would departure in that and with that if I had to experience that. Can you imagine their thoughts now as God gathers them as a people and does mighty works on their behalf and then raises up this leader that was raised in the palace and they could easily have seen as an enemy. He becomes their leader and God does the plagues on their behalf and He says, now come, follow me. God has liberated us. He has destroyed our enemy. We are going out of slavery, and they start to march. Can you imagine the thoughts that they were thinking, that we're free, yay, we are going into our promised land just across this river. We're going to be there. God is going to be for us. He's not against us. The absolute sheer gladness of knowing that this season has ended. We are going into our preferred prophetic future in God. We are going to have a property, each of us. We're going to have land for our livestock to go and eat in. And we're going to have crops that we can grow. And I'm going to run into the field with my children. And we're going to sow. And then later we're going to reap. And we're going to celebrate together as a people. Only to find that there is still a journey ahead of him. You know, the first thing I want to say is what we think sometimes is the end is actually just the beginning of a journey that we still have to go through with God. The other thing is it would not have been foolish of them to think that this is the point of fulfillment of prophecy. They knew the prophecies because they were taught the prophecies. They would have known that God gave a promise to Abraham that there will be a people who will bless others, but they've never experienced it. They've just had to work as slaves. And now this is the fulfillment point. We are free. We're going to enter the prophecy. We will be a blessing to others. And whoever curses us, God will dishonor them and curse them. But you know what? Rarely do we see the prophecies fulfilled in an instant. Rarely do we see the totality of a prophecy being fulfilled in a moment. I think the only times we really see that is where God speaks a word. And remember, prophecy is hearing the word of God for the future of the individual, for the future of the collective. That maybe in moments we see that instantly fulfilled is when He speaks out death and destruction. I think about where He says, you've been weighed, you've been measured, you've been found wanting, and in this night your life will be taken from you. And instantly there is a fulfillment of that. But rarely does it happen that the prophecy of God happens like this. And I think it has to do with us as humanity, where we first have to have the character that God wants to grow in us, or a degree of it, so that parts of the fulfillment can be worked out. And I think that is why, to a degree, we can see we will never walk in the fulfillment and perfection this side of eternity. But one day we will, and we look forward to that day. So what we think sometimes is the end is just merely the beginning. And we are finding ourselves as love-reaching communities in that moment. There is a journey ahead of us to pursue our prophetic preferred future in Christ. And the prophecy will be fulfilled because God's word is yes and amen. And this journey is all God is asking us at this point. Join the journey in the fulfillment of this prophecy. You see, this is why I say it is a glorious unfolding, to quote Stephen Curtis Chapman. There is so much of the story that is still yet to unfold, and this is going to be a glorious unfolding. Just you wait and see, you will be amazed. You've just got to believe the story. It's so far from over. So hold on to every promise God has made to us and watch this glorious unfolding. I want to say that is not just a good song to listen to, but it is a heart cry, a plea. It is a prayer that I pray over this congregation, over you and over me. Like in God, may we see His glorious unfolding. His glory, our good, all circumstances in His control. So now I asked myself in preparation of this message is, what did God achieve in them as a people in this time of wilderness? So I've moved on from them, what God achieved in them as a people in Egypt. I'm now just in the journey time. I'm in Exodus 13, verse 18, where but God took them out and led them into the wilderness. I'm there. And I also ask now, what did He achieve in them as a people during this time, this journeying of in the wilderness? And I'm asking, what did they gain in this time of wilderness, and what did they walk into? How did this prepare them to walk into their preferred future? So you all say that's good questions. I thank you. I appreciate the affirmation. In simple things, I came up with six P's that I felt. First of all, during this time of wilderness journey, they became a people who would recognize the presence of God. The first P, recognizing the presence of God. The second one, they were a people who found themselves abiding in His divine protection. I look at how He equipped them in this journey time, this wilderness time of being able to attack, but also being able to defend. And how He comes into situations where they are overwhelmed by sheer numbers and strategy of the enemy, with His divine protection. I look at how the nations around them, the third P, they were His people. They were marked by the presence of God. People, nations around them would fear them because they knew, don't touch them. They are the anointed of the Lord. Do not go against Israel because the Lord, Creator God, fights on their behalf. They were marked as His people, the third P. The fourth one, they found a life despite the harsh pressures that they were under. You know, before they were in slavery, and I think the best way to see this is that the pressure was real, because they were now free from slavery. They were free people, but the life wasn't anything but pleasurable. It wasn't that. It was so harsh that sometimes they yearned to go back and become slaves again. You and I read that statement and we think it is absurd to say, I'll rather be a slave to somebody than a free man under these circumstances. But that is the pressures of life that sometimes come. They were living in God despite the pressures, the harshness. The fifth one, the fifth P that I found happened during this journey in the wilderness was, they were introduced to God's pattern, His design, His way of saying, be a holy people and come into My presence as a holy God, so we can be in each other's company and reestablish something of what was lost. He gave a design of government. He gave a design of the temple. He gave a pattern of worship. He gave a pattern of so many things, if you just go through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And then the sixth P that I found is they learned to have faith in His provision. He gave food. He gave shelter. He gave a promised land. He provided in every possible way. So what I say, the six P's that you find that they became aware of, or that they lived in during this time of wilderness journey, was His presence, abiding in His protection, dwelling as His people, living despite the pressures of this world, introduced to His pattern, and faith in His provision. Six P's. What did God establish in them in this time of journey? That. What is God trying to establish in you and I in this time of seclusion, isolation, discomfort? That. He wants us to always recognize His presence. He wants us to live in His protection. He wants us to be known as His people. In faith and hope and trust, He wants us to live despite pressures. And He wants us to live according to His pattern for our lives, His purposes. And He wants us to have faith in His provision. Just take a moment and say, Father, let me find these six P's. Let me find You in the six P's, in this journey, in this wilderness where I find myself. Yes, I am specifically talking about the circumstances we find ourselves in. This lockdown, this level 3, we don't know what level 2 is going to hold, but it's discomfort, it's uncertain, it's awkward. We can find Him. I started to look at the wilderness, just that word wilderness in Exodus. And I found a couple of times when that word is referred to. And sometimes it's referred to as something good, promoted by God. And sometimes it's something that they didn't like. And I would classify that as something bad. I can't say that in the one instance it was life and the other instance it was death. I want to say that this time I'm saying it was good circumstances, it was bad circumstances. But I definitely see how this wilderness becomes a mechanism that God uses for the fulfillment of His prophecy in detail, in specifics, in His people. I see how the wilderness started to develop in people a refining of character in Christ, in God. And as I looked at these examples of where I found the word wilderness, I clearly see how it develops us for our good and God's glory. As we immerse ourselves, as the Israelites decided to pay attention to the presence of God, as we immerse ourselves in His presence, as they immersed themselves in the presence and became aware that He is there with them, I can see how it developed them. So I'm going to try and present a couple of practical things that I found in Exodus. And I hope it will be helpful, because for me it has been enlightening. And I'm going to try and live in this. So there's the challenge. Yeah, challenge accepted. Let's go for it. Practical things where Exodus refers to wilderness. 5.1. If you haven't caught into the structure of my sermon, we are now on point 5. Exodus 5, verse 1. After Moses and Aaron went, and they said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Now, like I say, sometimes we looked at the wilderness and we could see everything that went wrong in the wilderness. But in this case, it is God saying, let my people go just for a moment into that space, that open desert, unrestricted, undemanding space, so that they can hold a feast to me. Later on in verse 3, it says, they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, into the spacious place, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. It is God saying, take yourself away from what you are busy with and put yourself in my presence and celebrate my presence with like a feast, with joy and excitement and enthusiasm. And I take this point that no matter where we are in the journey of wilderness, his presence should always be our pursuit. Good or bad. Matter of life and death. We should look upon being in the presence of our Father, the presence of Creator God, as a matter of life or death. If we are in it, no matter what happens around us, there's life. If we are not in it, no matter what we do, death. The second thing that I found was in Exodus 14, verse 3 to 4. They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And this is saying that Pharaoh will say that. They will not be found. They have been wandering in the wilderness. It has shut them in. In the planning of this series, there was an interesting remark made, and it's to do with the life of Joseph, where somebody said, perhaps we should consider that God allowing Joseph to go to prison after what happened with Potiphar's wife was God intervening to protect him, because what if he got so worn down by this lady's pursuit that he eventually gave in and compromised on his character in God? Divine protection. The wilderness journey in him is sometimes our divine protection in him. Now, this time it's a wilderness, it's discomfort, it's isolation, it's seclusion, it's sheltering. Will you allow God to open your eyes to see how this is also a time of protection for you? I know the circumstances are vastly different. So many of us are experiencing it so differently, but can you for one moment just say, God, open my eyes to see how this time is the time of your divine protection for me? I spoke to a few people and they say, you know what happened for me? And I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm telling you what some people have experienced. God protected me because if I didn't stop working at the pace that I was going, I would have burnt out. Somebody said that if they didn't have this moment to pause and reconnect with their family, it quite possibly could have been lost. Marriages could have. Those are two examples of how this time can be a time of sheltering, of protecting, of hemming in. Like it says, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Take a moment. Sit with your dad. Say, God, it's uncomfortable. I don't have everything I want. But Lord, thank you that I'm firstly found in your divine protection, in your presence. And then secondly, open my eyes so that I can see the things that were harming me and destroying me that you have divinely come to protect me from. The third thing I found in Exodus 15 verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You just have to have a child that's thirsty to know how people can complain when they need something to drink. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah, which means bitter. The people did what they always did. They grumbled. What shall we drink? But then Moses goes in such wisdom and such a calm nature, and he does what all of us should learn. He cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. In the wilderness, no matter how uncomfortable it could be, God makes sweet things in him. Sweet memories, sweet miracles, that when you think about it, you can't but find yourself excited, hopeful, enthusiastic, able to encourage others. When you think about those memories and those miracles that God made in a time of confinement, I have been so pleasantly surprised that more and more people are coming and saying, but look at what God had done during this time of lockdown. I thought Marlies and I would have our time and our job cut out for us and the other elders, that we would have to encourage the people that had possibly lost hope. But so many people have found hope in God despite what has happened. I'm telling you, if you haven't, just ask God to come and see what sweet memories he wants to create and sweet miracles he wants to achieve from turning a bitter situation into a sweetness, because that is Romans 8. God makes all things work together for our good, to his glory. Take some time. God, this is a bitter memory. But God, this is what you did from it. The fourth one, practical things of wilderness related things I found in Exodus, is in Exodus 16. And the portion is quite a lengthy portion. It's from verse 1 to verse 5. And it's when they came close to the mountain of Sinai. And the people of Israel said to them, oh, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out of this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. And we know what happens. The Israelites go, God performs a miracle, they fear him, they praise him, they rejoice in him. Few days later, they are miserable as anything. They complain. They cry. They moan. I want to say, I don't know about you, but grumbling for us, as humans living on this side of eternity, I think sometimes is expected. I wish I could tell you that there are times when I can tell you that I never grumble, but there are times when I grumble. I want to say, listen to what is said here. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we have died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. You've brought us out of this wilderness to kill. They do everything except what they should do with their grumbling and their anxieties and their fears. You know, this is what we do as humans. I find the person, the next willing person that's ready to listen to my complaints and my woes. And I just let it rip. I just download every bad bit of imagination, every bad bit of news that I can find, every worst possible interpretation or thing that I can dream of for the future. This is nothing. The worst is yet to come. I want to say, the unknown is the unknown. Nothing is going to change it. You imagining the worst about it isn't going to make it become the worst. As much as you imagining the best of it isn't going to make it become the best. The future is only sealed in Christ. The best we can do is going to go to God with our anxieties, with our fears, with our grumbling about the unknown, about the fears that we feel, about our situation. Going to our dad and saying, Lord, this is what I feel, this is what I experience. Because let's face it, only He can make a difference. Only He can take what we do and work something else than what is inevitable. He holds the future. He can change destinies. He holds your purpose. He is Creator God. But it's so comfortable for us to run to the next set of willing ears that will listen to our moans and our complaints. Take your anxieties, take your concerns to Him. Learn from their journey in this wilderness. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 4, Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they've gathered daily. So He gives them the design of what He's going to do for them. Now, I know that you can find as many examples of where they grumbled and it did not please God. And He had to act decisively against these people. But I want to say, what God does here is He's saying, I'm hearing them. Moses, thank you. I hear them. This is what I'm going to do because I am infinitely good. I am unconditionally love. And I want to work their best in any situation. All they have to do is come to me. That's why the New Testament says, bring your anxieties to God. In prayer and petition, make known to Him the desires of your heart. He's eager to listen. Practical thing, don't go to the next set of human ears that want to listen. Run to your dad and talk to him. The next one is a small portion of scripture from Exodus 16, verse 9 and 10. But I find 2 points for us. Practical things that we need to learn here. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Running to God, looking to Him in a journey of wilderness, in a situation of this, is sometimes our statement of faith that we trust in Him, who He is and what He is able to do. Run to God with your fears in this time and make a statement to Him to say, if not God, this situation will overtake us and it will kill us and it will destroy us, but God, may this season be marked, this journey of wilderness be marked for us as a people crying out to God in faith. May our statement of faith and declaration be, but God, we see you in this journey. We see you in the wilderness. The second thing that is so closely linked to this one, here's one thing we have to cement in ourselves. I wish we could like somehow ingrain it into us. That as much as we have this propensity to just look at the worst, that immediately if that happens, that our nature will say, but God is with us. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked and they saw in the wilderness the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. When we think the wilderness is too wild and this journey is too long, He appears in glory with us in it. He is not that type of God who will just direct us and say, go there, go there, I'll wait for you at the end. He is with us, journeying with us in this wilderness, just like He did for the Israelites. And His glory appeared. Where is the glory going to appear? Right where you are. He is eager to manifest Himself for you in the situation. He is eager to just remind you His presence is there in the situation. He is eager to just be with you. Do not let the wilderness rob you of the reality and the awareness of the presence of God. The last one, Exodus 19. This is now where God says, come into the wilderness of Sinai, encamp here. And God says, come up. Come to me. The wilderness isn't devoid of God. The wilderness isn't an isolation from God. I want to say that we see Him more present in the lives of the nation of Israel in the wilderness than elsewhere. And that's what He wants to do for you and I. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, as if He has to remind us. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. His voice is sometimes clearer in our time in the wilderness, in our journey in the wilderness. We sometimes hear Him clearer than any other time. Because the wilderness is a refining time of stripping away the distractions of the world. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, you hear His voice in the wilderness. When you turn your ears towards Him, He is eager to speak. And when He speaks over you, He speaks a hopeful future. He speaks a destiny. He speaks purpose. He speaks protection. He speaks provision. He gives you strategies and ideas. He gives you peace. He gives you affirmation. He gives you security. He gives you identity. He gives you love. He gives you hope. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. His voice is clear in the wilderness. If you would just listen. Practical things while we are in our journey of the wilderness is His presence should always be our pursuit. It's a matter of life and death. Allow yourself to be in His protection. third one, in the wilderness, allow Him to give you sweet memories and sweet miracles. It's redemptive nature at work for you. The fourth one, you are human. You will grumble from time to time. Do not grumble at each other, but take your grumblings to God. Take your anxieties and your fears. Go to your Father and say, this is what I'm feeling. The unknown is the unknown. But we are known by the one who knows it all. The next 2 points is, run to Him with your fears, your concerns, and your desires. That is sometimes your statement of faith in Him and trust in Him. And the second thing, His presence will be glorious in your journey of wilderness, if you pay attention. Seventh one, His voice is clear in the wilderness. Clear. And what He's saying over you is, you are mine. I have a covenant with you. You are my people. You are my priest. You are my holy nation. I am for you. And that is why we can journey in the wilderness, because we know who is for us. And we know that all things are possible because He is with us. And that brings us to Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In any wilderness situation you have, but God loved you so much that He died for you, just like the nation of Israel. And you can expect Him to take you into His provision, into His purpose, into His design for your life after a journey of wilderness. Father, we thank You that in You, we don't have to fear the unknown because You know it. We don't have to avoid a journey of possibly wilderness, isolation, discomfort, because You are with us in it. Thank You that the hope that we have will not be put to shame. The trust that we have will not be put to shame because we put our trust in You. Make us a people of courage, a people of strategy, a people of love, a people of hope, a people who's able to do what You have called us to do, because we are marked as Your people by Your presence, called by Your name, called by our names into Your presence. I pray that each and every person that hears this message will be inspired to pursue You, no matter what the circumstances, God. Every person that hears this will be inspired to rise up and say, but God is for me, is with me, has a future for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Love reaching communities. What a great time of being together again. Isn't God faithful that no matter where we are, even though we are separated by distance, when two or three gather in My name, there I will presence Myself. I pray that this week will be a week where you experience His presence despite this journey of wilderness, where you are able to hear His voice call out your name, where you are able to see His glory manifest, where you remember His miracles, His memories, the sweetness of who He is. I pray this over you. We declare this over you. I want to say, do not become a people who lose hope, but stay a people of hope in Him. Join us again. Be on Facebook. Check out what's coming. The announcements will come to you. The polling up will come to you. We need to know so we can best facilitate for you to be part of this wonderful unfolding of God's glorious journey for us as Love Reaching Communities. Love you. Miss you. See you soon. Thank you.
Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.